I remember preaching a few years ago on the lost language of lament, a title that I think I borrowed from a theological scholar I was reading at the time. And I believe it is still true and even pertinent to our world today that we have lost our ability to lament, and we need to relearn and reclaim it in these days. This idea comes from the first reading that we heard this evening, which was taken from the Hebrew scriptures, from the second book of Samuel, chapter 1. It's in your bulletin. It's known as David's lament over Saul and Jonathan, also known as the Song of the Bow. And it's a poem attributed to King David in the wake of the death of King Saul and Saul's son, Jonathan. Saul was seeking to kill David, and I hope I'm not telling you all stories that you know already, but Saul was seeking to kill David because he was afraid that David was a threat to his throne. But it hadn't always been the case. David had once served in the courts of Saul, and David and Jonathan were close, so close that we have that beautiful line we heard just a few moments ago. "I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." Which many queer scholars have interpreted to say that this represents an intimate, loving relationship between these two men. And it may well do, but it's not what I want to speak on in these next few minutes. I want to return to David and what he's doing here, which is lament. Lament is not complaint, nor is it simply mourning. Lament is a deep heart sickness about the state of the world. It is a deep pain and sorrow that comes particularly from a sense of loss. Lament is a deep expression of the heart in response to what it feels like an unbearable grief. We need to lament. We need to lament that hard-fought rights for the queer community, particularly our trans and non-gender conforming siblings, are being eroded and in some places stripped away by intolerant governments and authoritarian states. We need to lament that there are places where rights for trans and queer people do not exist, and our siblings are being persecuted and attacked, harmed and killed by intolerant and bigoted homophobes and transphobes. We need to lament that those who have worked so hard for the rights of 2SLGBTQAI++ community have seen them stripped away, and the memories of those who have died having fought that fight are being disregarded by intolerant and small people. People who claim to have God on their side, even as they harm the neighbor they are called to love. But lament is not despair. It does not drag us down into the depths just to leave us there. In acknowledging these losses and the pain that they cause, our lament draws us forward. Lament brings resilience. It reminds us that pain, sorrow, and loss, though great, will not kill us. Lament calls us to find our strength and to move forward from there. I believe at this time, lament is calling us as allies, as activists, as members of the queer community to change the world so that these acts of terror and harm will not continue. Lament is calling us to declare not that the mighty have fallen, but the fallen have become mighty. The small-minded, the bigoted, the intolerant, the uninformed and misinformed, and those who would peddle disinformation in order to shore up their own position or status or identity politics. From lament comes action. From acknowledging pain comes determination to move away from that pain and to bring about healing, wholeness, and justice for ourselves and those around us, to bring about real and lasting change. David would go on from his lament to lead Israel, say the stories of our Hebrew forebears, and to become the most highly regarded, though not perfect, king of the Jewish people. Lament gives us perspective and leads us onward, and ultimately in our Christian story leads us to love. Love of neighbor, love for ourselves, and love of God, which is where our second reading for this evening comes in. The beautiful hymn to love written by Paul in the first letter to the Corinthians. I'm sure that many of us have heard it before, at weddings, sometimes at funerals, and in movies, certainly in movie weddings. The kind of love that this passage speaks about is love which is strong and resilient and world-changing. It's not the love of Hallmark movies, classic as that genre may be, or of pop music, wonderful as that can be. It's a love that, as we heard, is patient, kind, not boastful or arrogant, keeps no record of wrongs, it's not envious. The list goes on. I recommend reading it again and again and again. It's a love which seems impossible to live up to, and indeed it is unattainable. When I was young and crueler, I used to ask people to put their names in where it says love in that passage. And I fell down pretty quickly, you know, I am patient. Okay, let's stop there. But really that's an exercise in futility and something that sets us up to fail, and I wouldn't do it now. Not just because it makes us feel bad unnecessarily, but because it's not what Paul meant when he wrote it. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he was trying to build a new community. A community which was bound together in love, which would transform the world for the better. The love Paul wrote about is a love which is expressed together. So that when one of us finds it hard to be patient or kind or not boastful, then the community steps in to embrace us, to call us to account, in order that we may all grow together in love. This love is a shared endeavor, and it works towards wholeness. It is a love we celebrate when we say boldly and without hesitation, love is love, however it is expressed, however it is known. It's the love that we are being called to grow in response to hatred and persecution, prejudice and bullying and harm. It's a love that Paul says bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The church is being called to that love, being called to make a stand with and for the queer community, to be unequivocal in our support for those whose voices are being silenced, not to speak for them, but to create spaces for them to speak, to both listen and amplify those voices. We are being called to say, in love, we see you, to those who are being made to feel invisible or unlovely, to all being excluded. We celebrate all people in this beautiful, wondrous, divine diversity of sexuality and gender identity with which we as a human race have been gifted. We are called to challenge the unloving, the prejudiced and the hateful with a love that is rooted deep in the knowledge that all are loved by God, not despite who they are, but because of who we are. God looks at each one of us and delights in our differences, and she rejoices in our togetherness. Diversity, equity, and inclusion are God-given values. We are to love them into being. From lament, we move to love, to transformation. For these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of them is love. Amen.